This morning on Wake Up with Hope, we have an uplifting devotional from the Voice of Prophecy, Health News with Dr. Narita McKibben,
and a delicious plant-based Sloppy Joe's recipe from G and Olive and Moses, plus the incredible Journey returns. Stay with us. Good morning, friends, and welcome to a new week on Wake Up with Hope. You know, we are elated to be here on this crisp Monday morning.
It sure is crisp because winter is almost officially here and the air outside. You can just feel that crispiness.
Yes.
Well, it's a refreshing Monday morning, and we're so thankful you have decided to join us this morning and start your work week here.
You know, Monday's are notorious for being the least favorite day of the week. Isn't it?
That's true.
But on today's program, we have a special segment dedicated to weathering life's emotional storms. So whether it's the sheer fact that it's Monday that has you feeling a little less than happy, or other circumstances, we've got just what you need to lift up your spirits. But first, let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On December 11, 1978, six masked and armed individuals stormed into the Lufthansa Airlines cargo terminal during a late-night shift at New York's John F. Kennedy International Airport, making off with $5.8 million in cash and jewels. This theft stood as the largest heist in U.S. history at that time. Despite no shots being fired, numerous violent incidents and a trail of dead bodies and disappearances followed.
You know, at first glance, the crime seemed perfectly smooth until the aftermath was finally seen. And such it is when we sin. You know, oftentimes we don't see the immediate consequences. It seems as though nothing serious or harmful ensues as a result. Yet every time we sin, we find ourselves separating ourselves from God and causing our own hearts to become hardened towards Him. You know, that's because sin is destructive in nature. And the Bible teaches that sin can lead to suffering, harm to others, and ultimately spiritual separation from God. So instead, God encourages us to draw close to Him so that we can live righteously and avoid actions that harm others and, well, even ourselves.
That is very true. Well, did you know that eating lentils promotes good health and reduces your risk of chronic diseases such as diabetes, obesity, heart disease, and cancer? Wondering how to get more lentils in your diet? Well, we're here to help. Gia, Olive, and Moses are back this morning to show us how to make delicious and healthy lentil-based Sloppy Joes.
Sloppy Joes!
Sloppy Joes! What are Sloppy Joes? Well, Sloppy Joes are very popular in America, but our family have been making Sloppy Joes for a few years now, and we love it. In America, they make it with ground beef, and they throw it on a bun like a burger, but we are going to make it with lentils. So this is how we make it. It's a very simple recipe. It's a quick recipe. I mean, it takes a while to cook the lentils out, but it's quick to put together. So we're going to put the onions in. I've just put a little bit of water down the bottom of the pot so that I can fry my onions off. So red capsicums and onions go in first, and we just cook those until they're soft.
The Sloppy Joes have been cooking for about five minutes,
yeah. Yeah, 5 minutes. We've been frying off the onion with some water, and it is looking so good. The onion and the red capsicum, and they've softened up now, and we're ready to put the rest of the ingredients in there. Now, what we're going to put, you're going to give me the ingredients, okay? So can you give me the chili first?
Chili.
Chili. Yep. Olive, can you, yep. Can you put the chili in there? Be careful, it's hot. Very good. Now mix the chili round. We only put a touch of chili. You don't have to put the chili in there if you don't want it, but it does give it a bit of a tang. Can you give me the salt? Let's, salt. Good work. Salt. Pass it down. Salt in there. Oh, put some extra salt in there. I love salt. Okay, there we go. Are you? Because you love lentils. Lentils are my daughter's favorite dish in the world. Okay, Momo, can you give me the rest of the stuff? Can you give me the Dijon mustard? I know you know what Dijon mustard is because we got it together.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, so inside this Dijon mustard, I've got Worcestershire sauce. And now this is one of the ingredients the Americans use. and it just really tastes good in there. So the Worcestershire sauce I get is the one without. A lot of them are made with anchovies. The one I get is without. So just check the back. Some people just don't like anchovy, the flavour and stuff. I just like to stay away from all that. Mix that through. And then we've got, the kids are having a great chat here, so I'll keep going. Maple syrup. Just a touch of maple syrup just to give it some sweetness. Yum. And then soy sauce. And then that's it. Now, can you give me the lentils and the tomato? I've got the tomatoes, some tomatoes, a can of crushed tomatoes or canned tomatoes. Oh, she's going to put the lentils in and you can help me put the, you can help me put the liquid in. Whoa, all in there. Can you help me put the liquid in?
Okay.
Okay, let's go. You ready? Oh, no, you're going to have to hold it.
Kind of looks like a salad.
Does it? A salad. Okay, ready?
Salad.
And all we're doing now is putting vegetable stock. That's it, just with water.
Can I do it?
So a touch of rice vinegar. There we go. Now, we are going to let this cook out on a slow, a medium-low heat. And we're just going to stir it every 10 minutes. Once the lentils are cooked, it's done. And we'll be back to show you exactly what it looks like. So we'll keep stirring and we'll leave it on the heat for a while, okay? So our sloppy joes are ready. I've been cooking it out. So what I did is I put the lid on and I let it simmer for as long as it took for the liquid to go and for the lentils to get soft. Now what I've done here is we've cut open just buns. Any buns will do. We like using wholemeal buns. And I'm going to put the sloppy joes on top of the buns like a burger. And throw your sloppy joes. It doesn't matter, it's sloppy, some of it will come off. I like putting some yogurt on top, so I'm using coconut yogurt, and then you just put your bun on top, and that's how you eat it. And I actually have some corn here, because my kids love corn, and so putting some corn on the side. And there you have it, your meal. Cheap, easy, quick. Enjoy our recipe, try it, let us know what you think. We'll see you next time.
You know, we all face emotional storms at some point or another, and it's a natural thing to have emotional responses to the circumstances that surround us. And how can we balance our emotions so that they don't consume us? Well, let's tune in on today's episode of The Incredible Journey to find out.
When a crisis looms or drops in your lap, how do you cope?
Do you get angry? Do you panic? Do you pretend it's not happening and hang out at the beach with your friends, ignoring the social distancing recommendation? It's easy to have an emotional response to the circumstances around us that is as natural an act as breathing for every single one of us. The difficulty lies in bringing balance to our emotions so they don't consume us. Combining our emotions with reason and judgment is something that all of us struggle with. Sometimes our brains are so strongly conditioned to a certain emotional response in a given situation that we react without thinking. But the ability to manage our emotions well can make a huge difference in how we view the circumstances we find ourselves in, and also how we respond to those circumstances. Let's look at two Bible characters, one who was overwhelmed by his emotions and another who successfully managed his. Both were placed in highly stressful situations, and yet they had completely opposite reactions to an almost identical situation. Our first Bible character is the prophet Elijah. His story is found in the Bible book of 1 Kings, beginning in chapter 17. Elijah was instrumental in leading the people of Israel away from idolatry and back to God. His iconic showdown with the priests of the pagan god Baal on top of Mount Carmel was a significant turning point in the spiritual direction of the northern kingdom of Israel under the rule of King Ahab. But Elijah incurred the wrath of Ahab's wife, Queen Jezebel, who was an ardent follower of Baal and instrumental in introducing the cultic worship of this idol, this false god, to Israel. Incensed by Elijah's blatant defiance of her God and his worship, Jezebel threatened to kill Elijah. Terrified at the prospect, Elijah turned tail and ran. He ran all the way to Mount Horeb, where God met him and asked him a simple, poignant question. What are you doing here, Elijah? God had just given Elijah a tremendous victory on Mount Carmel. He had demonstrated his power before the entire nation of northern Israel. And yet, despite this, when Jezebel threatens him, Elijah gives way to his fears and runs. Elijah's response to the threats of Jezebel is a classic example of how our emotions can overwhelm us and strip us of our ability to reason. If Elijah had been able to manage his emotions better, he would have been able to think through a situation more rationally. He would have remembered how King Ahab had hunted him for 3 years and how God had kept him safely hidden during that time. He would have remembered how God had sent ravens to feed him while the rest of the land shriveled under a horrific drought. But he didn't remember any of this. All he could think of was Jezebel's threat, and his fear was so overwhelming that he ran. Without thinking, Elijah ran, when running should have been the last thing on his mind. On the other hand, remember the story of Daniel and how he was faced with a similar situation, but reacted completely differently? Daniel woke up one morning to a knock on his door. Daniel chapter 2 details how King Nebuchadnezzar, incensed by the inability of his wise men to tell him about a dream he had had, orders that all of them should be executed. Being one of the king's wise men, but also completely unaware of the situation, Daniel is informed early one morning by the king's executioner that it's time to die for something he hadn't done and wasn't even aware of. But Daniel doesn't run. Instead, he is calm. Surely he must have been afraid, or at the very least shocked. But he manages to control his emotions enough to ask intelligent questions and understand the situation. Once he has a clear grasp of what is happening, he must have realized how impossible the situation was. No human being could possibly comply with the king's absurd request, but he still doesn't panic or give way to fear. Instead, he asks for time, calls his friends together, and prays, asking God for a solution to his problem. And God answers him and provides just as he has promised. Daniel is able to go before the king and tell him his dream and the interpretation. If Daniel responded to the situation as Elijah did, the outcomes might have been very different. Managing our emotions in times of crisis is crucial. When you're faced with an overwhelming problem, remember three things. One, stop. Don't jump to conclusions. Two, ask questions. And three, turn to God for solutions. If you do these three things, chances are you'll end up like Daniel, victorious and in control of an otherwise impossible situation.
Dr. Narada McKibben from Go Healthy for Good joins us now to share important health news. Dr. McKibben, what's on the radar today?
In the headlines today, being in nature improves diet, brain changes in mild COVID, and antibiotic resistance altered by diet. We all know that time in nature is beneficial to mental and physical health, and now a study has shown that it is also correlated with better dietary habits. 300 study participants were asked about their connection to nature as well as their dietary habits in order to establish their level of dietary diversity. Researchers found that time spent in nature was correlated with greater dietary diversity. So let's eat well and spend more time in nature, doing physical activity, gardening, or meditating. Mild COVID appears to reduce brain size according to a study published in the journal Nature. MRI brain scans were done before and 140 days after COVID infections. 780 study participants aged 50 to 80 were evaluated and half were tested positive for COVID. Brain scans of those who had COVID showed tissue damage and shrinkage in brain areas relating to smell, along with reductions in gray matter thickness and tissue contrast in certain areas when compared with study controls. Those people also took longer to complete complex tasks than controls. A control analysis on separate participants who had contracted pneumonia demonstrated that the effects were specific to COVID-19 and not common to all respiratory illnesses. Antibiotic resistance is predicted to become a major cause of death worldwide in the next 25 years. And antibiotic resistance is genetically encoded in the bacteria that make up our microbiome. So researchers studied the diet of 290 individuals and counted the number and type of antibiotic-resistant genes in their microbiome. Those people with the lowest levels of antibiotic-resistant genes were those eating the most total dietary fiber, the most soluble fiber, the most diverse diet, and the least animal protein, especially beef and pork. So reduce your risk of getting a superbug infection by eating a diverse diet that contains plenty of soluble fiber and drop the meat. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's health news.
If you're enjoying today's program, share us with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more inspiring content and search for us on YouTube to subscribe to our channel and keep up with us.
We have to take a short break now, friends, but when we return, we'll have today's devotional thought from our friends at Voice of Prophecy. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. We are here for you, and we hope your day is getting started off with hope and peace as you spend time with us this morning.
This morning, the Voice of Prophecy brings us an uplifting devotional thought.
Do you believe that prayer makes a difference? A real, tangible difference in your day-to-day life? Well, I believe that it does, and I've experienced it on multiple occasions. Praying specifically for and about the things going on in our lives gives us peace and comfort. You know, a few months ago, my oldest daughter, Natalie, called me. She and her husband were wrestling with a ministry call about whether the position would be offered to them, and if it would be, if they would accept it. I prayed for her and specifically about that situation. We talked some more, and she asked me about a situation I was struggling with. And then she prayed for me and the specifics of that. It was a special experience. You know, prayer is something that's a part of Natalie's life. She told me that the day before our call, she and one of her closest friends visited the venue where Natalie was married. They relived some special memories from that day. And then these two young women stood together right at the spot where Natalie and Devin had committed their lives to each other. And they prayed. They prayed about the call specifically and about Natalie and Devin's future. Women of faith united in prayer. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Well, praying specifically about what's going on in our lives is biblical. God wants to hear from us about the big decisions that we're wrestling with and the heartaches that we perhaps can't share with anyone else. We see this model of specific prayer in the life of David. Now, when David was just 30 years old, he became king over all Israel. It was a long, dangerous and complicated journey to kingship. David's predecessor, Saul, fell out of favor with God. You see, Saul chose his own way and he didn't seek God in important decisions. He failed to be the spiritual leader of the nation that God intended him to be. And so God chose a shepherd boy, David, to replace Saul. Now, Saul became defensive, angry, and he sought to kill David. When Saul died, not everyone's allegiances swung behind David right away. He was king over Judah first, and only after 7 years was he king over all of Israel. Now, with a new king at the helm, the Israelites' enemies, the Philistines, they planned an attack. They set out in search of the new king. David retreated to a stronghold, and there, before making any further plans, David prayed. He asked God what he should do. Specifically, he asked, "Should I go out and fight the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand?" Well, God heard this prayer and he answered David, "Yes, go out. I'll help you." And David listened, and he was victorious. Now, while David and his men were still celebrating their victory, the Philistines gathered for another attack. They spread out in the valley around them. How frustrating that must have been for the new king. His life and position threatened not once, but twice. Well, again, David prayed before making a move. Let's read it in the book of 2 Samuel. We can find it in chapter 5. "And the Philistines came up yet again and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, 'You shall not go up. Go around to their rear and come against them opposite the balsam trees. And when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then rouse yourself, for then the Lord has gone out before you to strike down the army of the Philistines.' And David did as the Lord commanded him." You know, what really strikes me about this account is the level of detail that goes into both the prayer and God's answer. God tells David exactly how to position his troops, and he gives him a sign of when to know that it was safe to attack. "When you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees." You know, I can picture in my mind David and his men waiting patiently, their eyes and ears lifted up to the tops of the trees. Silently they wait, and then they hear it. The sounds of marching breeze through the tops of the balsams with the wind. And how did they respond? Well, the verse that we just read ended with the key. The key for his success as a king and the key to finding peace and contentment in our lives. And it's this: David did as the Lord commanded. You know, David had a transparent and a close relationship with God. He talked to him as he made decisions and processed challenges in his leadership role and in his family. And God guided him, and vitally important for David, he listened. David kept his eyes and ears in tune with what God said would happen next. He listened for subtle signals. He watched for what God told him to watch for. And things always turned out just as God assured David that they would. You know, David was different from Saul in many ways. But it was this relationship with God, this open dialogue and willingness to follow his guidance, that was the biggest difference. It was the difference in their ability to lead Israel effectively. You know, I like the language and the imagery of this answered prayer. God told David to keep his eyes and ears on the tops of the balsam trees. There they would hear his signal to move. You know, God wants to answer my prayers just as specifically as he did David's. He knows what's next for me. He knew whether Natalie and Devin would receive that ministry call and whether or not they should accept it. You know, our answers to prayer may not be as specific as to tell us to listen to the treetops, but God does give us signs to watch for. And so, watch for signs for his answered prayers. Watch and listen for the swaying balsam trees. And when you see the signs, trust God and follow his lead. He will never lead you astray. Well, I'm thankful to start this week with you, our Hope Channel family, once again. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we have some heavy burdens on our hearts this morning. Father, we want to be able to pour out our hearts to you, to share the specific challenges that we're struggling with. And Father, we believe that you hear and you answer, just as David listened for your answer in the balsam treetops. Father, we want to be in tune to your answers as well. Amen. So when you pray, do you rattle off the same rote words that you've always prayed? Do the words seem to have lost their meaning? Do you think that God isn't interested in the specific challenges of your situation? Well, God is. He wants to hear from you in all the details. Pray to him in faith, and then watch and listen for his answer. He promises that he will answer. And that's good news for this new week, isn't it? Well, we at the Voice of Prophecy pray that you wake up with hope each and every day. Thank you for starting your Monday morning with us. Whatever this new week has in store, you can have hope in the midst of it. Invite God to go with you every step of the way. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you. What an encouragement that was.
It sure was. And friends, thank you so much for being with us today and watching Wake Up With Hope.
Please join us tomorrow as Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 will be with us to share a morning devotional. Plus, we will have a dedicated prayer session and a special feature on how to find your passion. Don't miss it.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional and would like to learn more about God's amazing plan for your life, visit hope.study to claim your free Bible study guides.
Amen. God has so much he'd like to share with you. Don't miss out, friends. Again, that's hope.study.
And before we go, friends, we have a Bible promise we want to share with you. And today's promise is found in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24.
It says, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you."
What a promise. You know, as we look around at all that is happening in our world, it's very easy to feel, you know, afraid, you know, confused and downright discouraged. But God has a greater plan for you. He reminds us that in this verse that we can lift up our heads in sure confidence. You know, we can serve him with all our hearts as we consider and remember all that he has done and that he will continue to do great things for us. So friends, will you place your trust in him today?
Amen. We pray that you enjoyed your time with us today, friends, and we sincerely wish you a happy Monday.
Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, today you have precious, precious thoughts and plans towards us. And as we trust you, you're going to fulfill all those thoughts in our life. And so, Lord, we know that as we look up to you, you're a great God and you can do great things. So, Lord, lead us into this new day. We have hope in you, we trust you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.